We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, it's 8:33, and it is Wednesday, the 8th of July, so welcome to Overtime. And I'm Debbie Monterey, welcoming in Charlie Brennan.
Good morning, Debbie.
And Amy Markscores.
Hey, good morning.
Are you enjoying the steamy weather?
Oh, yes. Every day. It's like having your own personal sauna. You just step outside, you get the cleansing element of sweating your face off. Yeah.
It's great. Some people do like it, I guess.
I kind of like it. You know, when it's 6 degrees outside and you're freezing and your fingers hurt and your toes hurt and you can't warm up, you just dream about these days when you're sweating.
You really do. I mean, you got to look at the positive side. You're not going to slip on ice on the sidewalk. That's one. The days are longer, right? So, you know, it seems like in December, the sun goes down at 4:30 or so. And no one goes out to exercise after 8 o'clock in December, but you can now. You know, it's a little warm, but loosens the muscles.
Well, that is true. I just don't love the humidity, because you remember a few weeks ago, it was warm, but it wasn't humid at all. And, oh my gosh, does that make a difference? But
it's a killer for television here, I'll tell you that.
it's not good hair days, that is for sure. Okay, well, let's get right down to business, because we've been reporting this morning that Missouri has recorded its highest increase, although that could be a reporting thing because of the holiday. But also, coronavirus cases have been spiking all over the country. It is still an issue around the world, and the United States is now no longer a part of the World Health Organization, according to the White House. So yesterday, the Trump administration officially pulled out of the World Health Organization, which is something President Trump had been threatening to do for a couple of months, because he says they botched the coronavirus pandemic. The U.S. has been the largest contributor to the World Health Organization, putting in more than $400 million a year. Charlie, is it a good idea to pull out, or to pull out now?
Well, I was really surprised. And you don't wake up in the morning thinking, okay, during a pandemic, let's reduce the amount of money that would go to an organization like the World Health Organization. But there really are two sides to this. One is, the WHO did not do very well in the early days. It was not helpful in making things transparent in China. It was actually opposed to a lot of the travel restrictions, which we now take for granted, you know, especially when it comes to international travel. And of course, those are being applied against us. When you talk about pandemic spending by the World Health Organization, about 15% of their budget goes to the pandemic. So it's not, It doesn't seem to be the biggest priority of the World Health Organization. Locally, I don't think the president can do this for a very long period, because permanent funding can only be granted or taken away by Congress. So I guess it's a political gesture by the president. But I have not met one person, not one, who has said to me, you know what we really have to do? Is cut the funding for the World Health Organization.
Right. And the World Health Organization wasn't just unhelpful. They were complicit with a lot of the dishonesty and the ambiguity and the obfuscation when it came to information about COVID-19 and how it was spreading, when it started spreading, how bad it was. The WHO is very culpable. But I don't think pulling out of the WHO is the right move. The last thing you want is less influence in a world or health organization, especially one in which China is starting to contribute more money and China is starting to exercise more influence than it already has. If I'm the U.S., I would want to consider putting more money into the WHO. I mean, right now, the U.S. is already the single greatest contributor. They contribute about 15% of the budget. And the budget's not huge. Their two-year budget for the WHO, according to Forbes, is $4.8 billion. To put it in perspective, the budget for the CDC is $2 billion more than that annually. So yeah, the U.S. has the power to exert more influence. I don't think we should pull out.
And well, you know, how could you exert influence except by taking away the purse strings? And you bring up China. That's a good example. The WHO has completely favored China over Taiwan. Taiwan seems to be doing the right thing. They're much more transparent, and they actually had a better grip on coronavirus than we did, and China and other countries. And if you don't pull the pull strings, if you don't pull the purse strings, how do you really get the attention of the organization?
Well, and I wanted to just follow up on what you said, a better job than we did, because sometimes I feel like we're just looking to blame someone else because we haven't handled it well. We have more cases than anyone.
We do.
We can't even agree in this country on whether to wear masks. I'm being oppressed and you're threatening me because I have to wear a mask. We had the Retail Industry Leaders Association pleading with governors yesterday. They represent huge stores like Target and Home Depot because they're workers are put in a bad position of having to tell people to wear masks because they said one of the issues is the rules are all over the place. Nobody knows. It's so chaotic in this country that no one really honestly knows what they're supposed to do.
Well, it's true. And the information about masks has changed completely. You know, originally we were told not to wear them, and I think that's stuck. And then Dr. Anthony Fauci said that was only so that individuals wouldn't pick up the masks that would have been better for frontline workers. So, you know, he gave us incomplete, misleading information. And I think that when they write the history books on this, that's going to be a big part of it. And then when it comes to the masks right now, that is true. You're right, Debbie. You know, when it came to that great clips in Springfield, 140 people connected to the haircut, but none came down with it because they were wearing masks. And yet now Dr. Deborah Birx from the Coronavirus Task Force tells us that the effect of a mask can be offset by shouting, like at rallies and protests. So, you know, we are pretty complicated on this one. I guess if there's good news, cases are up, but the deaths, maybe it's a lagging factor, they haven't followed.
Well, the deaths have continued to drop for 10 weeks. I will say
there's a little spike just yesterday, a little spike if you take a look nationally.
But in the New York Times,
not where they were. You're right.
There's so much we don't know. There's so many factors that have to come into play. Yes, the United States failed from the top to the bottom, right? You see federalism's benefits and you see its shortcomings. Sweden right now, as the New York Times reported, has a per million people, Sweden has suffered 40% more deaths than the United States. So Sweden struggled with their response. And when it comes to the WHO, Taiwan warned the world in December that this was spreading person to person, that this was a pandemic. China does not recognize the independence of Taiwan. The WHO does not recognize Taiwan, does not let Taiwan into the WHO. Therefore, Taiwan went into pandemic mode while the rest of the world waited. That's bad.
All right, we need to take a break here because it's 8:40 and we are going to talk about TikTok and more when we return. We get traffic and weather together here in 1 minute. It's 8:43. A little music from Travis to take us into segment two here. Not sure if you'll hear Travis music in the background of your favorite TikTok video, but I have to say my kids have been all over the TikTok. And I call it short attention span theater, but this weekend I was spending a lot of time with my family and my nieces, my nephew, my sister. They're all totally into TikTok. So, of course, I had to get on it. And then my kids were on it. So we were all like watching TikTok in this big group and sharing videos. And I have to admit it was amusing for a while. But then I come back to reality and I'm like, oh, the Trump administration wants to ban TikTok. What's going on here? Mike Pompeo said on Monday that the Trump administration is considering banning Chinese social media applications, including TikTok, from being used in the United States. I'm not sure how you ban an app that millions of people already have, but I'm sure there's a way. Critics say that they're taking our personal information, and Pompeo said that we don't want our information in the hands of communist China. Amy, I don't know if you use TikTok, but do you trust them to keep your information private?
I don't use TikTok, and no, I don't. And I was trying to find the exact quote. I mean, I've been following the recent headlines in China, and particularly regarding Hong Kong lately. I spoke with Bethany Allen Abrahamian of Axios, who stays right on top of this. Yes, China continues to tighten its grip on Hong Kong. It shows total disregard for privacy, free speech, due process, freedom of the press. And so, no, you know, if its own people, if it doesn't respect those things for its own people in China, for what was supposed to be a special independent region in Hong Kong, it's not going to respect anyone's privacy across the globe. In fact, in their new national security bill, technically, if you can read Chinese, Article 38 allows China to prosecute anyone, including non-Hong Kong residents living abroad, for disrespecting the Chinese flag or the Chinese government. So, yes, that's the entire planet. Not sure how you enforce it, but that's who you're dealing with.
Well, getting back to TikTok for just a moment, it is really, it's just taken off. I sat next to a guy on a plane last year, and the entire 2.5 hours or so, he was just watching videos on TikTok and nothing else. I thought, how do I invest in this company? Mm-hmm. But the strange thing is, about 2 weeks ago, at a socially distanced dinner, I was talking to a woman from St. Louis County whose friend is a national security contractor, and she indicated this national security contractor doesn't work for the national security agency, but for a private organization, which, you know, looks into these things. She brought up TikTok and how people in those circles are very concerned that it's much more than personal information that TikTok is able to get, but it'll have the ability to semi-hack what you have. And I thought, well, I'm glad I'm not on TikTok, but to be honest with you, I didn't think about it again until you just mentioned it, Debbie.
Well, I'm just trying to understand, like, what is the Chinese government going to do to me if I'm just sort of mindlessly flipping through 10-second videos of people eating cotton candy?
Maybe there's more that you have on that phone that they can get to. I don't know. Do you have a link to your brokerage? Do you have personal information that you're sharing in one way? And maybe it's not you. Maybe it's... There are other individuals, maybe members of the military, would be somebody that China would want more information of, or policymakers. I don't know.
Yeah, and also, you know, students abroad, you know, Chinese citizens or those studying abroad, Hong Kong citizens studying abroad. You know, you see them on a TikTok, they make a video, maybe it has the Hong Kong independence flag in it, somehow it disrespects the country. That information can be gathered. So maybe it's not specifically you. We joke, I don't think China wants to watch me go to the farmer's market and back every weekend, but...
Well, I'm not sure it'll be a great campaign move right before the election to get the young people to vote for Trump by taking away their TikTok. I mean, seriously, it's forget Facebook, forget Instagram, forget Twitter. For anyone under 30, it is all TikTok all the time. It's kind of crazy. It's 8:48, and we'll be back with round three of OT right after this. It is 8:53, Amy Marks Course, Charlie Brennan, I'm Debbie Monterey, and we talked at the beginning of the program about masks and how a lot of people don't want to wear them, and Charlie mentioned how at the beginning of all of this in February or early March, we were told not to wear them because they wanted to make sure that first frontline workers had the equipment that they needed, which they didn't a lot of the times, and people started sewing masks and making protective gear for hospital workers. Well, we may be there again. So perhaps this is good news for people who don't want to wear masks. They can say, oh, I'm worried about a shortage because Texas, which is having a huge outbreak and seeing several cities seeing their hospitals fill up, they say they don't have the masks, gowns, and gloves to keep frontline workers safe. Some rural hospitals say their protective gear could be exhausted in just hours with even a few COVID-19 patients. Bigger hospitals not sure how they'll replenish stocks as patient counts grow. So I guess a good question might be, Charlie, knowing that especially hospitals like New York City were inundated with a lack and had a lack of gear, why aren't hospitals better protected now?
Yeah, you would think that people had been forewarned sufficiently and that administrators at hospitals would, just for the heck of it, get a big warehouse full of masks and maybe some other equipment that would be really helpful at this time. But that's not the case. Maybe short-term budgets prevented that, or there was a supply chain issue. But I would think going forward that all hospitals would have some sort of major, huge closet full of all of this stuff. And frankly, I'm like you, I can't understand why we would be short in July after what happened in April.
Yeah, it makes you scratch your head a bit. I think when we're going to look back at the response to this entire pandemic across the nation, we are going to see multiple points of failure. I know I've talked about federalism over and over again, but you're going to see failure from the federal government, but you're also going to see failure on the parts of the states. Some states will handle it better than others. I would say I'm in favor of a national stockpile and a state's stockpile now. We stockpile military weapons. I think now we need to have a stockpile for the next pandemic. And also, since we're not in the WHO anymore, maybe we should pick up the phone and give Taiwan a call, learn a thing or two.
Well, I would say hospitals themselves should look in the mirror. Why aren't they amassing stockpiles of this important equipment?
Well, we did hear about nurses and doctors getting fired or suspended by the hospitals for having the audacity to complain about not having enough equipment.
And I don't know the business of it, but I don't know if a hospital can have its own stockpile, you know, the great amounts it would need for a pandemic, or if that's something better handled by the state. I'm not sure. I don't know the finances behind that.
Well, we need to take a break here for news at the top of the hour. But before we go, Charlie, what's coming up on the program?
Among other things, Kara Spencer, who's running for mayor and is a member of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen, said there's a new wrinkle in the airport privatization plan. And we're going to talk about that with Alderman Spencer when she joins us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.